COVID-19's death toll in the United States keeps climbing. That number today is over 837,000. This has meant a lot of business for funeral homes over the last 2 years. But this doesn't mean funeral homes are making more money, because many Americans went without costly burials, opting for less expensive cremations. This translates to a change in death rituals, especially in Black communities, which have been hit especially hard by the pandemic. Stephen Kemp directs Kemp Funeral Home in Southfield, Michigan. He joins us now. Hello.
Good morning.
I gather that your community and your funeral home has been through a lot during the pandemic. Can you tell me about your experience these past 2 years?
Sure, absolutely. It actually started in March of 2020. I'm just north of Detroit, to give people a kind of geographic area. It's kind of a melting pot of minority families that live in multi-generational homes. So really ravaged our community and the infrastructure, namely filing of death certificates, getting cremation permits, getting people cremated or even buried, made it even more difficult. The courts had closed, the vital statistics departments had closed, the morgues were overrun and understaffed because of COVID.
So what are things like now?
Things are a little better in terms of we now have the vaccine. So I'm still seeing an uptick because it's Omicron variation, but not as much as it was in 2020.
I was surprised when I heard business isn't booming necessarily for the industry because people are going with cremations as opposed to burials.
I do see cremation growing because financially it makes a whole lot of sense. We really, because of the pandemic, we really weren't prepared with insurances and with the proper amount of money to do that. And cemeteries have increased their prices disproportionately to the inflation rate.
For African-Americans, for like my grandmother, my big mom would go to funerals. It was almost like a social occasion, like her and her sister, they went to funerals like every week. Like there were all these rituals. You go around to see the family. There was the repast where you had the food. That is very different now, though.
Sure. You are expressing really what was. And in terms of historically going to churches, that is way down, way, way down. So you're beginning to see a lot more funerals here at the funeral home versus traditional places like a church. What I tell people, you didn't go to church your whole life. Why are you trying to have a traditional funeral now if you've never seen the inside of a damn church? Excuse my language. And what is now, we have them in parks and tents, mm-hmm. in people's homes, mm-hmm. in the backyards. Mm-hmm. And what traditionally mm-hmm. has been the funeral has evolved into more of a celebration of life. I tell people, get pictures together, put them on a flash drive, play the person's favorite music. Even, we've had Tupac.
Okay. Bury me a G? What? No.
In terms of now in the repast, what we were doing during the pandemic is I was catering boxes. If you remember on the
yes.
civil rights,
yes.
When we were on the buses or trains, when they didn't
yes.
serve us, we had lunch boxes.
Lunch boxes.
Well, a local African American restaurant here, Soul Restaurant, makes a box with historic indications on the outside and giving people the history of what we did. We serve those on the way out. So people take your box with you, take your takeout with mm-hmm. you, take your mm-hmm. juice and go on, and we all still celebrate. And, people ain't turn that down.
Are there less people at the services now? Like, is it mostly just family?
I see a huge increase of people on mm-hmm. the Zoom because for obvious reasons, I don't have to travel. If I'm in Atlanta or out of the country, I can watch the entire funeral. Actually, I can participate. I've had, ministers give their eulogy from their home office. I have a 75-inch big screen that I have on a trolley that I play, and they're standing there giving the eulogy. The funeral business is not like any other business in the terms of you adapting to the consumer's needs, if you're going to survive.
Because it's so personal.
Very, very personal. And I think that's probably, what I said is the last bastion of African-American or minority business. We still support one another in that industry because of our historical ties from the civil rights era. The funeral director was always the one yeah. that had the car and drove the civil rights person around. Even going back to the post-Civil War era, typically, white funeral directors took care of us. but they always put us in the basement. They always put us in the back room. The funerals weren't scheduled there. And then African Americans decided to enter the business as well in Birmingham, in Selma, in those areas that where they needed to march. What I always tell people is, who do you think paid the bail for those civil rights leaders who got put in jail for no reason down there? It was always the funeral director. The clandestine meetings that needed to be held without infiltration were typically held in what? A lot of people don't. Funeral homes.
As you say, your business has to evolve, but yet there's a heart to it. What are you doing to foster that for, you know, future generations?
So I'm trying to give that to the younger generations. Monthly here, we do a seminar, and we talk about Medicare and Medicaid spend downs and planning for long-term care, because people spend some or lose a lot of their generational wealth because of long-term care, because nursing homes can cost $6,000-$7,000 a month, and it depletes a senior's savings in no time. Now, does that have a lot to do with our business? I think it does, but mostly is to help our community. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to maintain, and we still going to do it to even in the younger generation, in my son's generation.
Stephen Kemp, mortician and director of Kemp Funeral Home in Southfield, Michigan, thank you so much.
Thank you.